finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.
The year 2019 is coming to an end, and with that, well, we have also finished the cricket calendar for the year, with England losing to South Africa in the first test, while New Zealand going down to Australia in the respective Boxing Day test matches. Well, it's been an eventful year of 2019, started with India winning in Australia, the ODI World Cup, the IPL, and a lot has happened in Test cricket, ODI cricket, off the field as well. For a lot of people, this is the ending of the decade, really. But for us here at Hotspot, we feel that the decade started in 2011 with India's ODI triumph in the 2011 Home World Cup. Well, it will end in 2020. Remains to be seen who wins the World T20 in Australia. For us, as I said, at Hotspot, it is just the end of the year 2019. And here we are presenting you the brand new episode of our Hotspot podcast. As always, I am your host, Chetan Narula, sports journalist and broadcaster. And with me, former Indian cricketer and broadcaster, and my co-host, Deep Das Gupta. Deep, wrapped up all your commitments for the year. Happy and ready to bring the new year, are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 2019 has been a very, very eventful year, as you mentioned. With a lot of cricket, a lot of very good cricket. Yeah, it's almost done. I mean, just one more day to go. That's about it.
A lot of people are talking about, you know, how it's been teams of the decade, players of the decade, moments of the decade. I thought the decade started in 2011, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you need to do something, right? So that's what you do. You just find something to do, because honestly speaking, this year, if you look at the Indian calendar, home calendar, it's been pretty relaxed. You know, there are breaks between series, also between games in a series. So I think, yeah, I mean, the last game that was played was a while ago. So there's a lot of time for cricket pundits to sit and think about whatever's happened over the last 8-9 years.
Even we have been busy, and we brought to you the IPL special podcast. And this is our year-ender podcast episode. We're looking back at the best of 2019. Deep, it's time to start on this episode. I think the first thing that we need to start off with is the vast number of runs that have been scored in 2019. If we talk about the top run getters in test matches, you have Manus Labuschagne from Australia, 11 tests, 1,104 runs. He is top of the pile. You cannot forget Steve Smith, 965 runs in 8 tests. Joe Root, 851 runs in 12 test matches. Rory Burns, 824 in 12 test matches. Ben Stokes, 821 in 11 test matches. Leading the charts for India is Mayank Agarwal, 754 runs in just the 8 test matches. But bit of a surprise there. Virat Kohli, 612 runs in 8 test matches. And of course, we have Rohit Sharma. A new chapter in Rohit Sharma's career as test opener. 556 runs in 5 tests. Starting with the batsman of the year, test batsman of the year, Deep, who would you pick? Would it be one of these guys, or is there somebody we haven't really mentioned?
To be very honest, it's a very tricky one, because on one side, you obviously can be a little biased with how Rohit kind of finished the year as far as test batting is concerned. But, you know, overall, I'd say someone like Smith, if you include the Ashes and the fact that how well he was, it was like unbelievable series, kind of dominated completely. Same with Labuschagne. I mean, he hasn't looked back ever since he got into the playing 11 because of Smith, replacing Smith as a concussion substitute. He hasn't looked back. So there are quite a few names, to be honest, out there. I mean, people like even Mayank Agarwal. I mean, someone who actually has been really consistent. So he's, you know, one of the names you might not think about as the batsman of the year, test batsman of the year. because obviously he's still making, he's in that process of making that name for himself or that status or for himself. But if you think about it, and starting from Australia, he's been the most consistent performer in the world. It's not about one series. You know, when talk about say, someone like Smith and Labuschagne, and then he'll go like, you know, one series or at home. But if you look at someone like Mayank Agarwal, it's been in Australia, it's been in West Indies, and obviously at home as well. So, yeah, interesting one. The other batsman, I think the standout batsman for me would be Babar Azam. He was always a very good white ball batsman, but I think this year was a breakthrough year as far as red ball cricket is concerned. You know, someone like, I mean, him scoring 616 runs with an average of 68 and 300s. You know, before this, he would have a decent average and would get his 50s and 40s consistently. But I think this year he's starting to convert those 50s and 60s into 100s and big ones. So I think that was another, I mean, a player who's coming through and a breakthrough year for someone like Babar Azam.
Well, we can almost sort of agree on a bit of a shortlist here. We have Labuschagne, we have Steve Smith, Mayank Agarwal, and Babar Azam just about edging it. So we have these top four contenders. Deep, my picks obviously would be, yes, I agree to a certain extent, Labuschagne. India went to Australia last year. They were missing that backbone in David Warner and Steve Smith. For him to come and give that extra element of batting, extra spine to their batting, that's something really good to see. It was starting to become, you know, two pivots in that batting lineup, and they were too much dependent on Smith and Warner. So that's another batsman that Australia have got, and they've really kicked up. That batting lineup has really kicked up from the Ashes onwards. And I agree, Steve Smith, Mayank Agarwal, yes, a surprise package really, because a majority of his runs have been scored overseas. Then he comes back home and gets runs against good bowling attacks, especially the South African bowling attack. Yes, their batting is in a bit of a transition, but I thought their bowling, especially the pace department, packed a punch. Obviously, they did not perform as well as they could have. But then again, you also have to give credit to the batsman. Babar Azam, as always, he's been you know, very exciting and a top batsman for Pakistan, their future hope, really. So let's pick our first award here at the Hotspot Podcast. One name. Who is that one best batsman for you?
I'm inclined to go with who I think at this point in time is the best test batsman in the world, which is for me at this point in time would be Steve Smith.
Okay, I agree with you. Yeah, even I agree with you there. Steve Smith, yes, the runs have come from Labuschagne's bat. Mayank Agarwal, 754 as well. Babar Azam, ever exciting. But for the brilliant comeback that he made in the Ashes, with the whole context of his ban, coming back, picking up the bat. Yeah. But you know what? Just the way he batted. Yes, the English media sometimes does get carried away in terms of their Ashes comparison, or even the Australian media with their Bradman comparison, but just in terms of the context of that series, our test batsman of the year is none other than Steve Smith. I think it's easier in the ODI arena as well. Rohit Sharma, 1490 runs in 28 matches. Virat Kohli, 1377 runs in 26 matches. Shai Hope, a bit of a surprise, yes. A bit of a surprise there. Shai Hope, 1345. He was the surprise package in the World Cup. Enthralled everybody. Just finishing up the top five, Aaron Finch, 1141. He was obviously leading Australia, being their leading batsman as well. Babar Azam, he makes an entry here as well. He makes his presence felt here as well. 1092 runs for Babar Azam in 20 matches.
I mean, obviously, you've mentioned almost everyone, the top five, six, the standout name this whole year as far as white ball cricket is concerned, especially ODI, is Rohit. I mean, unbelievable, 1419. Virat, pretty close, actually. 1377 is not too far away from Rohit, who had a fantastic, I mean, 700s. 700s in a calendar year for any batsman. That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. So for me, I think the other important name that you mentioned was Shai Hope.
Yeah.
And why I'm saying Shai Hope is, again, it's not a one-off thing. If you look at his numbers last year as well, they were very impressive. But what has changed with Shai Hope is, obviously, his numbers have improved in terms of number of runs. but also his strike rate has improved. And that is a huge thing. I mean, earlier on, he used to be that sheet anchor batsman that they needed. Their approach was a little defensive, but now this new West Indies team looks a little different with a more attacking mindset, and he's managed to still get as many runs as he did last year and even more, but with a better strike rate. So I think Shea Hope is good to see another West Indian coming through. But for me, yeah, Rohit Sharma.
Absolutely. I agree with your point there, because his strike rate, when you talk about these top five run getters in the world in ODI cricket, his strike rate there, 77.92, is the least in terms of these top five. It barely in the top 10, really, in terms of strike rate, Shea Hope. But, it's not about how quickly you're scoring those runs. He's given that element of solidity to the West Indies lineup, and that is good to see. And the way they are developing, really, they gave us a taste of how they are progressing. But yes, I think we don't really need a shortlist here. Rohit Sharma has been the ODI Batsman of the Year. In fact, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't get an ICC award or two with that white ball trophy, glistening white trophy for the ODI Cricketer of the Year, perhaps.
If you add his hundreds and the 50s that he's got, I mean, he's actually got more 100 than 50s. So add both of them, that 13 in 27 innings. Like every second innings, he gets more than 50. I mean, good is that for a record? Second innings.
Absolutely. And, it just completes the progression of Rohit Sharma. And we'll talk about, a decade ago, 2009, when he was still struggling in terms of, cementing a spot in the Indian ODI lineup, despite coming onto the scene as early as 2007. It's been 12, 13 years for Rohit Sharma. And suddenly it feels that he has come full circle. He's got that vice captaincy. He's got that responsibility. He's got the runs and, the weight of hundreds behind him. And this year has been the year of Rohit Sharma, the batsman, especially when you talk about Indian cricket, Deep. I mean, it's been dominated by Virat for a long, long time. But this year, this year, it was all about Rohit Sharma.
Yeah, I believe he's also got the highest number of international runs. I mean, only Virat comes second to him, but he's right there at the top across all formats. I mean, that just tells you the kind of domination he's had this year with the bat. So I think, his breakthrough year was 2013 when he started opening the Champions Trophy for India. I think in white ball cricket, he hasn't looked back since. And I think this, again, is kind of a breakthrough year as far as red ball cricket is concerned, with starting to open in test match cricket. So it's going to be interesting times, and a very, very important point that you make. The last few years, it was something like what 90s used to be. If you remember, Sachin would get out and everyone would be like, same to a certain extent. I'm not going to say completely, but to a certain extent, Virat gets out and you're like, oh, Virat's out there. I mean, that's that. But I think things are changing now, and that's a very, very positive sign, especially the last couple of series with Shreyas coming in at number four and kind of making that place his own to a certain extent. Last series, someone like Rishabh looking better. So I think that dependency on the top three, if I may say so, or Rohit or Virat, it's kind of depleting, which is a great sign for the Indian team.
Right. And you were not way off the mark there when you said that he scored runs in across formats. You look at 14 T20s for Rohit Sharma. He's got 396 runs there, four half centuries, an average of 28. But somebody who's really blasted his way through T20 cricket this year is Virat Kohli. He's just upped the ante in that format. The five half centuries for him there. An average of 77, Virat Kohli, 466 runs in 10 T20s. I mean, the ICC has given the T20 international status to all the associate nations. So any matches played between associate nations is considered international T20 cricket. So in terms of that, you look at the top run scorers. You have Paul Sterling from Ireland, who scored 748 runs in 20 matches, 700 plus runs for Kevin O'Brien. And from Netherlands, a couple of batsmen there as well. Balbirni from Ireland, he's there. From Papua New Guinea, 17 matches for him. Kharka from Nepal. You know, these. It's good to see, in a way, that these batsmen out there are playing regular cricket. But again, when you're averaging 77, I mean, India play T20 cricket at a far higher level in terms of their competition, in terms of international cricket, in terms of the opposition, really. And for Virat Kohli to average 77 in 10 T20s, that is a lot. And clearly, that is a clear front runner for T20 batsman of the year.
Absolutely. And you just mentioned about his average, not to forget, his strike rate, which is around 148.
Absolutely.
I mean, a strike rate of 148 and an average of 77 plus. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. I don't actually see anyone. So generally how I see is I add up the strike rate and the average. Anyone above 150 is good. 150 to 170 is good. Anyone beyond 170 is very good. But if you add Virat Kohli's average and strike rate, it is 155, 225, you know, somewhere there, if I've got my math right. It's 225 is unbelievable. You know, like I said, I mean, it's like, 150 to 170, 75 is good. And look at Rohit, okay? I mean, if you go down that list, the next big name, or rather name from one of the top test playing nation, is Rohit. Right,
yes.
Just after Virat. And look at his average. It's 28 and a strike rate of 138. So that's like 165, 170-ish, which is very good. And now look at, I mean, compare that to Virat. 225 is unbelievable.
It's a different sort of mathematics that you have done there, Deep. But yes, I agree with your point. And not really comparing with Rohit Sharma, because when you talk about the strike rate and the average there, it's more in sync with what Rohit has done throughout his international T20 career. But Virat is somebody who challenges himself against himself. And in that, if you look at his 2018 T20 record, 10 T20 matches in 2018 as well, so that's a direct comparison, really. His strike rate was 121. His average was 30.14. So from that perspective, it's really taken off, especially when you consider that there are two T20 World Cups on the horizon. We have T20 World Cup in 2020 and in 2021. So he is, in a way, preparing himself for those two tournaments, preparing himself to be India's main batsman, or at least one of the two main batsmen, and totally changed his game. Maybe also he's inspired to win something for Royal Challengers Bangalore next season, but definitely Virat Kohli, the T20 batsman of the year.
True. And also, I mean, we've seen a different facet of Virat Kohli. I mean, kind of Virat 2.0 as far as T20 cricket is concerned, where earlier on, it used to be, you know, the rotation of strike and boundaries, hitting boundaries, not really sixes. But if you look at the number of sixes is hit, it's 23 and boundaries is 29. So there's not much of a difference between fours and sixes that he's hit. And he's one of the top boundary hitters in the top 6-7, which includes all the other nationalities, players from other nations as well. I mean, he's actually hit more sixes than Rohit. I mean, you know, Rohit is a six hitter. We all know how massive he hits. But I mean, Virat's hit more sixes than Rohit, and in lesser games. I mean, Rohit's played 14. He's played 10. So, I mean, that's a new side of Virat that we're seeing this year in T20 cricket, especially.
Right. So there you have it in terms of batting, really, in terms of the mountains of runs. There you have it, our three picks for the year 2019. It's Steve Smith in the Test arena, Rohit Sharma for the ODIs, and Virat Kohli in T20 cricket. Now it's turn of the magicians with the ball, with the red cherry, with the white cherry, and of course, what the bowlers have done across the three formats. So Deep, looking at, first of all, the test matches, we have Pat Cummins, 59 wickets in 12 test matches. Nathan Lyon, 45 in 12 test matches as well. Wagner for New Zealand. He's the new pick, really. He's impressed everyone. 43 wickets in 6 test matches. Stuart Broad, bit of a resurrection for him. Stuart Broad 3.0 or 4.0, really. 43 wickets for him, but in 11 test matches. So you can just see the difference there with Neil Wagner, taking 6 test matches for the same number of wickets. And then, of course, we have Mitchell Starc. You can't really keep him away. 42 wickets in 8 test matches. From an Indian's perspective, of course, Mohammad Shami, 33 wickets in 8 test matches. India haven't played a lot of test cricket this year, but he's maintained his top wicket-taking tally there, Mohammad Shami. So, Deep, come on, tell me. I know you really like Pat Cummins, but how have the other bowlers done as well?
I mean, obviously, if you think about test match cricket and how test match cricket surfaces have changed over the last couple of years, if you look at most of the surfaces, they have become a little bowler friendly now, which I really admire and like, if that's a conscious decision that all the boards have made, making those pitches for test match cricket a little more bowler friendly. It's been a year. I mean, last couple of years, it's been a year of the bowlers as far as test match cricket is concerned. Pat Cummins has been a standout bowler, but yes, Wagner, last couple of series for Wagner was absolutely phenomenal. Pakistan, and then even this one, the ongoing series against Australia, what I really like about him is he'll find a way to pick a wicket. I mean, he's not very one-dimensional. He's got a very good short ball. The best part is he's got that stamina to bowl at least 6-7 overs off just short balls. You know what I'm saying? He's a huge, he's massive heart he's got. I really, really like about Wagner. I mean, his heart predominantly. I mean, 43 wickets in just 6 matches. A phenomenal average as well. Again, Hazelwood and Broad, the usual suspects there. But I think Cummins and Mohammad Shami, and I'll tell you the reason why I'm saying Mohammad Shami is because think about the surfaces that Mohammad Shami has bowled on and picked up those wickets. 33 at 16 apiece, 16. That's the best average, I believe, in the top 10. I think anyone with a better average would be Ishant and Umesh Yadav. I mean, Ishant and Umesh Yadav, two other Indians there. Yes. But Shami, predominantly because, the surfaces, the last, or rather the first test of 2019 was the last test in Australia. The surface again, Sydney surface, good for batting, right? Picked up wickets there. Right through the year, played on very batting friendly surfaces in West Indies, back in India as well. Apart from the Pune test, I don't see too many surfaces that help the seam bowlers. So think about that kind of surfaces that he's bowled on. Yes, Pat Cummins has picked up more wickets, but Mohammad Shami, on the limited opportunities or limited tests that India has played and on the surfaces that India has played, I think, it's a fabulous year for Mohammad Shami.
One bowler that I would really love to mention here, Deep, is Nathan Lyon. He's the only spinner the top 5 or 6 wicket takers. And of course, yes, Ravichandran Ashwin, he's not too far off. He's not playing as much test cricket, maybe. That could be one of the reasons. You have Ravindra Jadeja. Ashwin has 20 wickets from 5 matches, and Ravindra Jadeja has 21 from 8. So, considering that they didn't play as much cricket as Nathan Lyon did. But again, Nathan Lyon, when you talk about surfaces for Mohammad Shami, then it is also applicable for Nathan Lyon, who's played all his games in Australia and England. You had Sri Lanka touring there. You had, Pakistan touring there. You had New Zealand touring there. They went to England. So he's not really played in spin-friendly conditions. And, the other obsession with the Australian cricket is Nathan Lyon being the greatest of all time, calling him the GOAT. I mean, Ashwin might have a couple of things to say to that.
Yeah.
But everything kept in, equality. It's a remarkable return, 45 wickets from 12 test matches. But again, we have to pick just the one name. And I think we both agree, Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon, Mohammad Shami. Is that the shortlist? What did you say? Yeah, you said Pat Cummins.
Yeah, I'd go with Pat Cummins, but Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon, Mohammad Shami would be, all the other two would be extremely close. And I completely agree what you mentioned about Nathan Lyon. I mean, listen, he doesn't need a surface. He doesn't need a spin-friendly surface to pick wickets. He's just brilliant. He could well be the best spinner in test match cricket.
And as much as I love Nathan Lyon and watching him bowl and Mohammad Shami, yeah, wow, what seam position he holds. Pat Cummins holds a special place in my heart because obviously the one test match out of the 12 he's played this year was in the India-Australia series in Sydney. It was coming on the back of that Melbourne test match that was 2018, and I will never forget that test match. And not just because India won the series there or he took an unassailable lead in the series, it was a brilliant performance from Pujara and Jasprit Bumrah, but Pat Cummins, that match, he batted and bowled and fielded. He was on the field on all 5 days. The only player across both sides who was on the field on all 5 days. And then there he was in the Sydney test, out again for his team, fighting hard. So it was a tough fortnight for Pat Cummins, for a fast bowler, especially for an Australian fast bowler, especially for Cummins, who's been dealing with so many injuries. So with all that fitness issues and form issues, and he's come back, and he is one of the top Australian cricketers at the moment. Potentially a future captain, maybe. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
But you never know.
For the moment. Yes, for the moment, I think. And also the recipient of the Allan Border Medal last year. So maybe.
Sorry, one more reason why I would, you know, marginally keep Pat Cummins ahead of Mohammad Shami. For one reason is his consistency. You know, Shami is very consistent. Take nothing away from that. But even now, earlier on, it used to be in a day who'd bowl four spells and you would get one unbelievable spell. Now that rate has gone up. Maybe now you get 2 out of 4 or maybe 2 out of 3 spells, which are unbelievable from Shami. But if you look at Pat Cummins and his consistency in every spell, every game, it is unbelievable. Again, I mean, there's nothing much to choose between Cummins and Mohammad Shami. But I guess this year, I think Cummins been a tad bit better than Shami, I'd say.
Like we said, you know, he might just win the Allan Border medal next year again. But for the moment, he'll have to contend with our hotspot podcast test bowler of the year. 59 wickets for 12 tests for Pat Cummins. We're looking back at the ODIs now. And Mohammad Shami is there as well. 42 wickets in 21 matches. Trent Bolt, 38 in 20. Lockie Ferguson, he had a good year. He's just come on the scene, on the horizon for New Zealand. 35 of 17. Mustafizur Rahman, bit of an injury-plagued year, and he's come back. 34 wickets in 16 matches. Bhuvneshwar Kumar, again, another injury-plagued bowler. 33 wickets for him in 19 matches. But then there is Kuldeep Yadav, the first spinner on the list. 32 wickets in 23 matches. The other standouts, again, Pat Cummins, 31 in 16. Sheldon Cottrell, the saluting man, the saluting guy, really, 31 in 24. And these are our top contenders. What do you think here? Has Kuldeep Yadav done enough? Because he's just solitary spinner in that top list. And Yuzvendra Chahal, just there or thereabouts, 29 in 16 matches as well.
Yeah, I mean, talking about Kuldeep, I think he started off the year pretty well. Then again, kind of faded in between. Again, he's come back and he's come back strongly. Kuldeep again, I mean, was very good starting and at the end of the year, but in between kind of struggled. It's difficult if you think about bowlers in ODI. You really don't see a standout bowler, do you? I mean, I find it difficult. For example, Mohammad Shami, you mentioned he's obviously taken most number of wickets, but his death overs, I mean, he still needs to improve that. So, I mean, for example, in test match cricket, you say, you know, Mohammad Shami, Pat Cummins, Nathan Lyon. In ODI, I mean, it's difficult to pick one bowler who you'd say, you know what, for example, Bumrah, I would say still Bumrah. Unfortunately, he didn't play. I mean, half the year he didn't play because of injury. But even then, if you look at Bumrah, I mean, he's had a fair, he's picked up a fair number of wickets. I mean, 14 games, he's picked up 25. You know, I mean, at a phenomenal economy of 5.3, an average of 20, which is unbelievable in ODI cricket. So, I mean, it's difficult. I don't know. I mean, I'll leave this to you.
For me, it has to be Mohammad Shami, and I'll give you my reason, simply because he was nowhere close to white ball cricket when 2019 started. I mean, he was starting to be in the conversation on that tour. I remember the conversation had shifted towards why not try Shami in white ball cricket, because India was suffering in terms of their third pace option for the World Cup. They were trialing Hardik Pandya, Vijay Shankar, who were proving to be good options, but not the reliable third pacer option in white ball cricket. And Shami has had a really bad time in terms of white ball cricket. You know, 2015 was the last time, you remember, he was bowling in Australia in the World Cup. That was the, you know, great Shami white ball period for him. Then the injury happened. He's tried to come back more in red ball cricket. He's always built up towards red ball cricket. And of course, he didn't play white ball cricket for a long, long time. The last time he played was in 16-17. 2016 for the T20s, 2017 for the ODIs. So after a gap of 1.5 years, just on the back of his fitness, his form, and most importantly, his rhythm that he developed bowling continuously in test cricket, all those overseas test matches in South Africa, in England, in Australia, he caught that rhythm and he took that rhythm to ODI cricket. And to end this year as the leading wicket taker, I think that is where he edges it ahead of Bumrah. I love Bumrah. I love watching Bumrah bowl. I love watching every delivery that Bumrah bowls. But for me, Shami just edges it because of that factor that he was nowhere in 17 and 18 where Bumrah was sharpening his wares in white ball cricket.
Another point that, if I may add to what you just mentioned, the fact that he's a wicket-taking bowler, and something that you know, a lot of teams kind of miss a wicket-taking bowler, and India too, when in the absence of Bumrah, even Bhuvi to a certain extent. I think it's obviously, I mean, I would like to go with you, but the other bowler that I would like to mention is Mitchell Starc. I mean, he hasn't played as many games. He's just played, 10 games. But in those 10 games, he's picked up 27 wickets. And not just that, I mean, he's got 2 5-wicket hauls and 2 4-wicket hauls. I mean, those are match-winning performances. So, I mean, in just 10 games. So, I think, yeah, I mean, he's been obviously plagued with injuries and you know, all that workload management and stuff that is the policy that has been followed by Australia, has played only 10 games. I think he's also had a great year, the limited games that he's played. Hopefully he's going to be fit the whole of 2020.
Well, moving on to the T20 Bowler of the Year. And again, it's an interesting one, Deep, because you have a lot of associate nations up the charts. You know, you look at Sandeep Lamichhane heading 28 wickets of 16 matches. The first real, you know, quantity we can say in terms of whether it's IPL or international cricket, and Rashid Khan way down the list, 20 wickets of 10 matches. But surprisingly, amidst all those names from associate nations, you have Mitchell Santner, 12 matches, 20 wickets for him. And of course, you have Deepak Chahar making an entry lower down the table. This is a tough one, Deep. How would you go about picking it? Would we want to reward here an associate cricketer, somebody like Sandeep Lamichhane, 28 wickets in 16 matches? It's a good arena for these bowlers. It's a batsman-friendly format, but they are making a name for themselves here, getting that, you know, that experience of playing international cricket.
And you know what, with Sandeep Lamichhane, what I really like is he's changed how, I mean, being the first associate, not the first to be honest, but a leading bowler in T20 cricket coming from Nepal, he's changed how people look at Nepalese cricket and cricket in Nepal for that matter. So I think, yes, his contribution is immense. But as you mentioned, it's very difficult to pick a bowler in T20 cricket because to be honest, I mean, a T20 cricket is more prevalent in associate nations as compared to the test playing nations or the top test playing nations.
Yeah.
And if you look at the most number of games that any team has played, I mean, and you'll find teams like Netherlands and Nepal playing a lot of T20 cricket because that's the format they prefer and that is a format they play a lot more than other test playing nations. So I think it's going to be a little difficult. And to be fair, we haven't really seen much. I mean, I haven't seen much of these bowlers to actually say they're good or otherwise. So, you know, I'm going to give this a pass.
that's sitting on the fence. I'll tell you what, I'm not sitting on the fence.
I'm just sitting on the other side.
On the other side, giving it a pass. I'll tell you what, let's hand it out because you know you have three bowlers here. Let's just go by numbers here. Let's right. for a change, let's not go with an international team like India or New Zealand. Like I said, Mitchell Santner in there as well. He's the only bowler from a top cricket nation who's made any significant headway in that table, really. 20 wickets in 12 matches in itself, merit-worthy. Deepak Chahar, you have 16 in 9. That is merit-worthy as well. But let's not give it to a top international side. I would give it to Lamit Chahne, but we also have Brandon Glover from Netherlands, who is a fast bowler. He's also picked up 28 wickets. And you have Karan Casey, who's also a fast bowler from Nepal. He's picked up 28 wickets as well. I'll hand it over to Lalbhi Chane just because we've had a monopoly of leg spinners, and one of them from Afghanistan, Rashid Khan. Just a monopoly of Rashid Khan, really, when it comes to T20 cricket, that he is the best. It's been a bit of an off year for Rashid Khan. Yes, he was away playing the World Cup, Test cricket, everything. So he's having a tough time coping with the demands of various formats. At the same time, he has to keep up with those T20 leagues. So he's the first cricketer, or I would say he's the leading cricketer to play the most cricket this year, Rashid Khan, whether it's Test cricket or ODIs or T20s, international T20s, or at the T20 leagues. And there, Rashid Khan is starting to struggle, and we have a new name on the block, Sandeep Lamit Chahne. So let's hand it out to this young wrist spinner from Nepal, and maybe we'll see more of him in 2020, and what he can do not only for Nepal but also in the different T20 leagues across the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, he's already made a name for himself in India, and IPL for me would be among the top T20 franchise cricket, along with, let's say, BBL, where again he's done extremely well. So if you go by his performances in the leagues as well, leaving aside international games, I mean, he's been a consistent performer in all the top leagues in the world.
So now that's decided. We have Pat Cummins in the Test arena. We have Mohammad Shami in the ODI arena. And breaking away from the pace tradition, we are handing it to Sandeep Lamit Chahne in the T20 arena. So these three are our bowlers of 2019. We are quickly moving towards the end of this award-giving ceremony on our latest hot take on Hotspot with me and Deep Das Gupta. I think, you know, the things that we need to discuss now are moments-centric. First, maybe we can talk about the teams, maybe the best test side, maybe the best ODI side. But first, best test side this year, Deep, what do you think?
God, I'm very, very inclined to give it to India.
Yeah.
Primarily, India's played at home, but how India's played. I mean, even at home, it's been the seamers who've picked up the wickets, right? We've provided good batting tracks, okay? I think not just good batting tracks, a couple of tracks was pace-friendly, which is quite alien to all the visiting teams. So I'm very, very inclined to give it to India, to be honest. I mean, looking at all the aspects, starting from batting to bowling, spin and fast and everything else, I'm very, very inclined to give it to India.
You know, it's an interesting one because there's a bit of a gap that India have opened up both in the world rankings as well as the World ICC Test Championship. Yes, the ICC rankings and the ICC Test Championship as well. Just to humor our listeners here, Deep, which is the other test side that comes close. For my consideration, yes, I would give it to India as well, just on the strength of their bowling attack. And for all the reasons you just mentioned, India look a top-class test side. This could be a side, could be comparable to something akin to what, you know, Steve Waugh's Australia did. But a lot will depend if they have learned from their mistakes and, if they go on to win series in South Africa and England, or maybe repeat their Australia heroics next year in 2020. We are not very far away from that either. This time next year, we'll be handing out awards whether India have replicated their feat in Australia or not. But again, coming back to the point, to my knowledge, I think Australia have looked really close in terms of competition. Yeah. We could be heading for an India-Australia 2021 World Test Championship final.
I won't be surprised one bit, because if you go by the same parameters I mentioned, you'd find Australia there as well. You find batsmen who have the ability to play on any surface, whether it's spinning or not, whether it's fast bowling or not. They have the bowlers to exploit any kind of surface. They have spinners like Nathan Lyon and obviously the seamers. I think these are the two teams. And like you mentioned, I will not be surprised one bit if India and Australia play the finals in 2021 of the Test Championship.
And who would be the ODI side of the year? I am inclined to give it to New Zealand, just because England won that final in the ODI. game of the century, game of the decade, the best game I've ever seen live. But, you know, I want to hand it out to New Zealand. Let them win something.
You can't do this based on emotions. I mean, come on, your head has to take over your heart. Well, you give it to New Zealand, but I think it's England. I think they've dominated this format. They've kind of dominated the World Cup as well. Yes, the finals, they won it the way they did, but actually, I mean, if you go by any other rule, they would have still won it. You know, they had defeated New Zealand in the round robin phase. They had won more games than anyone else. I think this whole year, in fact, last few years, they've dominated ODIs. So I think, yeah, I'd go with England.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hand on heart, you know, I was really disappointed, or let's say really depressed from a New Zealand perspective and how they really dealt with it, you know, with happy
Chetan,
faces.
But I do understand and accept the fact New Zealand would be everyone's second favorite team, irrespective of which country you belong to. If you're English, you're obviously England would be your number one team, but second would be New Zealand. For us, I think second is New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand's a team that you really, really like. I mean, very likable team, very likable players. So I'm not surprised. I mean, if you have to ask me, which is your second favorite team, and you would really want them to do well after India, I'd say New Zealand.
And you know what? I would also like to point this out. You know, yes, India, really good ODI side. England, the world champions, they set out and achieved what they set out to do. They set out to win it, and then they achieved it, really. But if you look at just that World Cup, New Zealand surprised a lot of people. Yes, they got a few points because of the rained out matches. But, you know, they were a side who were really dependent on Kane Williamson for their batting strength. And they were not really giving us 300 plus totals. India did it. Australia did it to an extent. England did it as well. So we're talking about the top four sides, you know, of that World Cup. New Zealand did not have 300 plus totals. They were scoring, their highest was 280, 290. They did not have a 300 plus total. Even in the final, they had, 250 or to defend? And look how they made a match out of it. So really, they were bits and pieces ODI side, but they really, really gave us a very, very memorable and great World Cup. So yes, I'm going to play by emotion. For me, on New Zealand are the ODI side of the year. And like I said, the T20 side, I am not going to announce a T20 side here. If you want to, please feel free to go ahead. Maybe Chennai Super Kings? I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Maybe Chennai Super Kings, but...
For the T20 side of the year, I'm going to sit on the other side of the fence.
Now we're coming to the last point, or the last trophy, really, the metaphorical trophy yeah. on our year-ending episode, Cricketer of the Year. Deep, again, to me, this is about moments, and there's only one cricketer, really, who stands out. Yes, the numbers are there for Pat Cummins, for Rohit Sharma, for Virat Kohli, and emotion for Kane Williamson and his New Zealanders. But if there was one cricketer in terms of moments, really, it was Ben Stokes with that final, with that catch in the opening game of the World Cup, and of course, that Test match win at Leeds against Australia. There's nobody else.
For me, the moment of the year was that overthrow. Remember that overthrow? I think it was Guptill who threw the ball, and it was Ben Stokes diving. I think.
He had his hands up, and again, Ben Stokes was involved in that as well. That's the moment. Let's have two awards here: the moment of the year, that overthrow, and the cricketer of the year. Again, it's all about moments. Do you dispute that there is anybody else apart from Ben Stokes who was the leading cricketer in 2019 across formats?
True. I would like to believe that Ben Stokes, and obviously going by the sheer number of runs across format that Rohit has scored.
Yeah.
I mean, what, 10 hundreds in a year?
Yes.
Is huge. Is massive. 10 hundreds in a year across all formats, including double hundreds. So
Rohit Sharma perhaps comes a close second, but
very
just in terms
close
of
second.
Just in terms of the impactful moments and the memorable moments, and again across formats, doing in those situations, the pressure situations, and giving us cricket fans memories, you will always remember, or we will always remember 2019. So no disagreements here. We've had our Test winners, we've had our ODI winners, our T20 winners, the teams really that have won big here as well. But again, Ben Stokes is the one who does it for us. Right, that brings us to the end of this episode. Like we mentioned, it is the year-ending episode. So our heartfelt season's greetings to our listeners, wishing you all a happy new year. Deep, any messages for our listeners? Year-ending messages?
A very, very happy 2020 to everyone. I mean, 2019's been brilliant, and 2020 would be even better. I mean, there's so much of cricket to be played across. And you know what's very interesting as far as India is concerned, because there are overseas tours starting with New Zealand. So this is where I think this year is going to be really, really challenging for Indian cricket. T20, another ICC event. So looking forward to 2020. I'm sure everyone else is in and around cricket. So all the very best, and a very, very happy new year to all our viewers, and would be requesting all our viewers as well to obviously keep supporting us, keep sharing our podcast, and we'll be back soon then.
Yes, and that's the promise which we will deliver on. We'll be back with more episodes in 2020. Like Deep said, lots to look forward to, starting from the Sri Lanka and the Australia tours to India. And then, of course, the big tour to New Zealand. The IPL is there as well. There's the Asia Cup. There's the World T20. Let's call it T20 World Cup. England will be coming to India for an ODI and T20 series before the World Cup. And of course, the year ending, like we mentioned earlier, India's tour of Australia. So much to look forward to, Deep. So much to talk about. Thanks for the episodes that we have done in 2019. Looking forward to talking more cricket with you in 2020. Wishing all our listeners a very happy new year. In the meantime, do leave your feedback and comments. Share this podcast on social media. Reach out to us on social media as well. And we are now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn. And like I promised the last time, our Facebook page is up as well. So you can subscribe to this podcast hotspot on all these platforms. Until next year, then, it's goodbye.
Dhoni finishes off in style. A magnificent strike into the crowd. India lift the World Cup after 28 years.